Hey, I'm Johanna Wagstaff.
And hi there, I'm Rohith Joseph.
And we're asking for 10 minutes of your day to go through the 10 things that the UN recommends we can all do when it comes to climate change.
Please don't leave.
No.
And also, the things aren't new.
We are just wired to not do them.
We promise you to help you figure out your brains, and you and your people can make better choices to combat climate change.
10 Minutes to Save the Planet is available now on CBC Listen and everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
This is World Report. Good morning. I'm Marcia Young. Police say they have arrested nine people in connection with a gold heist at Toronto's Pearson Airport. 1 year ago, more than $20 million worth of gold and cash were stolen. Police say the robbery involved Air Canada workers. And after an international investigation, dozens of illegal firearms have been taken off the streets. The CBC's Katie Nicholson has the details.
This story is a sensational one.
Peel's Regional Police Chief Nishan Duryappa says it's a story right out of Netflix. The largest gold heist in Canadian history unraveled one night in September on a Pennsylvania road when a state trooper clocked a vehicle that had made minor traffic violations. That traffic stop led to the discovery of 65 firearms police say were destined for Canada. Firearms, a joint task force of Canadian and U.S. law enforcement, say was funded in part by the gold stolen from an Air Canada cargo facility at Toronto's largest airport. For the first time, police detailed allegations that it was an inside man, an Air Canada manager who helped coordinate the heist. A fake waybill was even printed at the cargo facility the day before, police say. That waybill cleared the way for a 5-ton truck, which video surveillance shows pulled up and loaded up the gold, says Detective Sergeant Mike Mavity.
He has been known to us since early on in the investigation. He actually led a tour for Peel Regional Police before we knew his involvement. But he was a manager with Air Canada.
In all, nine people have been arrested. Three are still wanted on Canada-wide warrants, and a total of 19 charges have been laid. And police warn they aren't done yet. This investigation, they say, is still active. As for the nearly 7,000 bars of pure gold, most of it long gone, just roughly $90,000 worth of it recovered in the form of a handful of crudely made bangles. Katie Nicholson, CBC News, Toronto.
Opposition parties in Ottawa are panning the Trudeau government's budget.
Conservatives will vote against this wasteful, inflationary budget.
Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre making his intentions known. The Liberal budget calls for more than $50 billion of new spending. Some of that money is being allocated for people with disabilities, but advocates say the new national disability benefit will not lift anyone out of poverty. Tom Perry reports.
We are acting today to ensure fairness for every generation.
Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland unveiling her new budget with money for housing, research, and a new benefit for Canadians with disabilities. The government pledging $6 billion over 6 years for disability payments, with money set to roll out in July of next year. But with a maximum payment of $2,400 a year, advocates question how effective the benefit will be. Michelle Hewitt is chair of the advocacy group Disability Without Poverty.
200 books a month extra, 6 books a day when you start to break it down. The aim of this benefit was to lift disabled people out of poverty, and these numbers just aren't going to do that.
NDP leader Jagmeet Singh points to the disability benefit as just one of the disappointments of this budget.
While we fought for certain things in the budget that are very important, that are going to give relief to people, we have some serious concerns.
The NDP continue to prop up the Liberals, though Singh hasn't said whether they'll support this spending plan. Overall, the budget contains nearly $53 billion in new spending over 5 years, along with an increase in the capital gains tax for the wealthiest Canadians. The Bloc Québécois and Green Party have already come out against it, with Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre also strongly opposed to what he calls a wasteful budget that sprays fuel on an inflationary fire. Tom Perry, CBC News, Ottawa.
Healthcare workers across the country are reporting high levels of burnout. Many are parents. They say 24-hour childcare would make it easier for them to stay on the job. As Shayna Luck reports, two provinces are working to see if that is feasible.
Supper time at this Cape Breton daycare, and the grilled cheese sandwiches are going down well. Sarah Chow spends a few moments with her 15-month-old daughter, Mira, before heading to work.
She actually settled really well. Like, they, she eats here, she loves to dance to music, and they even got her to sleep.
At least 22 families are using this 24-hour daycare. It's been a blessing to Chow. She's a piano teacher who works evenings, and her husband is an ER doctor on a rotating shift. The Night Owl program began in January, a pilot program to try to retain healthcare workers. It's funded by the province and run by daycare owner Helen Gamble.
I think it just shows them that we are serious about the need we have for healthcare professionals in the area.
Newfoundland and Labrador is also trying to launch 180 daycare spots for healthcare workers with extended hours. The Provincial Nurses Union surveyed 2,000 workers and found childcare was a top issue, says President Yvette Coffey.
If they had childcare, it would prevent them from resigning from their permanent position.
There are challenges. So far in Sydney, only two children have stayed the entire night. The Nova Scotia government will do a full evaluation in the spring to determine if any adjustments need to be made. Shayna Luck, CBC News, Sydney, Nova Scotia.
Foreign Affairs Minister Melanie Joly is meeting with her G7 counterparts in Capri, Italy. The wars in Gaza and Ukraine are expected to dominate the talks. Last night, Joly met with Italy's foreign minister in Rome. Megan Williams tells us what they said.
There is an agreement of sanctions against Iranians.
At a formal dinner in a villa overlooking Rome, Canadian Foreign Affairs Minister Melanie Joly and her Italian counterpart Antonio Tajani said they backed more sanctions against Iran after the country launched hundreds of drones and missiles at Israel on Saturday in response to Israel's killing of two of its top commanders.
Our position is very simple.
Joly says Canada is always in favor of more sanctions against Iran. Today, Joly and Tajani join fellow foreign ministers of the U.S., Germany, Japan, France, and Britain. Along with sanctions, the group is expected to present a united front in urging Israel not to retaliate against Iran and in demanding release of Israeli hostages, a ceasefire in Gaza, and humanitarian relief for the hundreds of thousands suffering from hunger there.
We will find every single way to provide help.
Joly says she spoke on Tuesday with Israel's Minister of Strategic Affairs, Ron Dermer.
I pushed him on opening even more, also crossings between Israel and Gaza, and it is fundamental that that the Palestinians have access to food and to medicine.
The G7 ministers are also expected to talk about using profits generated by billions of dollars of frozen Russian assets to help fund weapons Ukraine desperately needs. Megan Williams, CBC News, Rome.
A Boeing engineer will testify today before members of the U.S. Congress. The whistleblower says there are flaws with Boeing's 787 Dreamliner. He says production of the aircraft should be halted until safety concerns are addressed. The CBC's Chris Reyes is following the hearing. Chris, what are we expecting to hear today?
Well, the whistleblower is Sam Salapour. He's a quality engineer at the company and has over a decade of experience. He's making very serious claims against his employer, Marcia. For one, that Boeing's widely used planes, the Dreamliner, which flies all over the world, including in Canada, has a flaw that could cause it to fall apart mid-air. He spoke exclusively to NBC News last night ahead of his appearance in Congress today, and he said the gaps between the big pieces of the main body of the aircraft are too big.
The plane will fall apart at the joints where we're talking about. Once you fall apart, you're going to descend all the way to the ground.
This testimony he's about to give to a Senate subcommittee stems from documents he shared with the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, a few years ago. He said Boeing was taking shortcuts to reduce bottlenecks in production, and it was causing faulty engineering. Salapour still works at the company, but his lawyers said he has been sidelined from any meetings that would address his concerns.
What is Boeing saying?
Boeing has issued a statement denying Salapur's allegations, calling them inaccurate. The company said they were fully confident in the 787 Dreamliner's safety, that it had been put through, quote, rigorous engineering examination under FAA oversight. The company has been under intense scrutiny in recent months. They continue to deal with the fallout from the Alaska Airlines incident earlier this year. That's when a door panel blew out on a 737 MAX 9 mid-flight. Last month, three senior Boeing executives, including its CEO, stepped down.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
The CBC's Chris Reyes in New York, and that is the latest national and international news from World Report. I'm Marcia Young.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.